This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 118. Sesame Street is so not in Jersey.
Right now.
You're a hotbed of diseases.
Yeah.
Viral, aren't you?
I'm not viral. Well, not viral in the sense of internet viral, but I'm viral.
You are. You're all over the internet. Every time I go to the game's website, you're there.
No, I'm not even gonna say that. Never mind.
Don't go there. Don't go there. But you know where you should go?
To our website.
Exactly. So if you're not visiting us, you should check us out on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the problem. You can check out any articles that we've written within the week, and you can leave a comment if you like or don't like. On top of that, if you just want to hit us up or you have something you want to say to any of us, any of the writers, or anything like that, you can use the hit us up link. Am I missing stuff now?
Yeah, you are, but that's okay, because I know exactly where you need to go. You can listen to episodes of our podcast on the website, as well as subscribe.
I thought we don't have a streaming feed anymore.
We don't have the feed, but you can still get the episodes and click on the button and listen to it. Put together in quick time. Yes, if you've got a media plugin, you've got the ESH podcast. Or you can listen to episodes of our podcast airing weekly Monday nights on the All Games Radio Network at allgames.com. Our show runs at about 9:30-ish p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time. So you can take a listen to what random crazy things come out of our head. So not just this episode. We've got hundreds more. Like 116 more besides this one.
If you're just picking us up now, you got a long way to go.
You got some history to go through, people.
Yeah, you can hear us when we really, really sucked.
We never sucked.
In the beginning, there were a lot more ums.
Yeah,
like,
welcome to
our show.
And, what are we going to talk about? I don't know. You know? Yeah.
We've dropped a lot of those since then.
We have more in store. We have much more to say. We're much more focused on what it is that we want to say.
Amen.
That was just a joke. So I'm actually going to kind of take the mic first a little bit.
Okay.
Which is not normal.
I don't feel good.
I'm trying to help. You know, because that's what sisters do. I got your back, girl.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's how we roll. So, I actually am going to be talking about an anime this week.
Yippity-doo-dah.
And here's the thing. It's an anime that I don't think that many people know about, but you really should, I think.
Uh-huh.
So we know when it comes... I'm going to tell the people. I'm going to share. So everyone knows, if you've been a fan of the show or you've ever read any of the things that I write on the website... When I write on the website, I am kind of particular about the anime that I enjoy. I don't mind saccharin at times.
I like saccharin.
Every once in a while, you need just something stupid and silly and fun to laugh at. Okay, it's what I'm pretty sure Adam Sandler's based the majority of his career on, is that sometimes you just need a good, stupid laugh. And saccharine anime is fine for that, but it's not my main dish. I really need something a little more meaty. I need there to be a really good story. I need there to be characters that I want to be involved with. I pretty much treat my anime like I treat my feature-length film tastes. If there's not a whole lot of content there, I'm not really going to stick around long. So I was traveling around, which if you've been listening to the podcast, you're pretty much aware. Been to a bunch of trade shows recently, some private events and travel.
Yeah. I heard the other podcast where you called me a punk-ass bitch because you don't think I'd go to Tokyo.
Bitch, you're going to get on a plane for 5 hours. You're going to get on a plane to Tokyo.
Fuck yeah, Tokyo. Tokyo.
Dude, I couldn't get you to go to Cali.
Dude. Yeah, because you know what?
The riots in that valley.
I've been to Cali.
When were you?
But you know what? I'd love to go to Shibuya. I want to go to Shibuya.
Wait, tie the fuck out. When you been to Cali?
I was at Long Beach.
When?
When I was on my way to Vegas. We were
stuck. That doesn't count when you're stuck in an airport. That does not count.
But I was technically in California. Oh. And hey, the only reason why I said I wouldn't go was because I didn't want to take a plane by myself and die. Punk. If someone wants to come with me.
See, that's a punk alert going off right there.
You know what? And I don't appreciate people using my line against me.
You gotta.
You know what? I know I'm a punk ass bitch. But you know what? I don't need other people telling me that because I see it every day.
You gotta step up to the plate, okay? You're a grown ass woman. You get on the plane by yourself.
No, I can't.
You can't.
Well, I could. I just won't.
Exactly.
There's a difference.
Punk.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So, anyway.
I love you.
I love you too. So I was looking for something to watch while I was traveling around. I love digital media on my computer. I love having stuff on a handheld. So I needed some new stuff to watch because I had pretty much gone through all the stuff that I'd put on my computer.
Uh-huh.
So I was bouncing around the iTunes store because Funimation has decided to put up a bunch of their stuff. Full seasons of it there. So I figured I'll check and see if there's something that I haven't purchased and or watched yet. And I saw one that I really wasn't very familiar with. I don't know much about, I'm probably going to butcher it because I always say every name of something that I might enjoy wrong. But Kitty Grade just didn't really look from the synopsis like something I'd enjoy.
I like Kitty Grade.
I don't know.
Kitty
much
Grade's
about
one
it.
Of those ones that, you know, they pretty much keep you in the same storyline up until like episode 24. And then they really kind of fuck you in the last two episodes. And you're kind of going, wait a minute, what? That's a. What goes where?
Oh, I never like having to ask that question when I'm watching.
It's like, penis goes where?
That's a bad question to ask.
Yeah. I mean, the ending, if you're not paying as much attention as you need to be, you might be like, but I thought they were the, so they're not who, and then the, what? What's that? Get that out of there. Okay. The end.
Okay. Well, then maybe I will go back and purchase it. But what I ended up purchasing was a series called Salty Ray.
Now, I've seen previews for it, but I've never watched it.
Okay. So Salty is spelled S-O-L-T-Y. Ray is R-E-I, like Ray Ayanami from Neon Genesis. And I'll be honest with you, the reason why I purchased it was really shallow. The main image for the show showed the main character, and she had green hair. And I'm a sucker for anime characters that have green hair. I don't know why.
That's all right. Magic loves red hair.
I tend to hate green as a color in general, but yet I like green-haired chicks in anime. So, reading the synopsis, it made it sound like it was a little bit of a post-apocalyptic story, which I always...
It is, isn't it?
To a degree, yes. So, and I was drawn to that, because usually whenever they start talking about anything that's post-apocalyptic or after a big war, they usually try very hard to do a lot of prologue before we get into the story, and they spend time on the story, which is why I'm drawn to those types of series. So I figured, all right, pony up, paid my money, got my episodes, killed the bandwidth in my hotel, but it was totally worth it, and here's why. So here's the basic story of Salty Ray. You've got a guy who's troubled. He lives in a town, and there was a really bad event in the city's history called the Blast Fall. And basically what happened was there was this nasty storm, an accident. Not everybody's sure what happened, but this massive lightning bolt struck an energy tower type place and caused all kinds of disaster. Blew buildings apart, incinerated people, and then there was also fallout. Many people lost limbs, were mutated or just died or disappeared. And so it's kind of like a nuclear bomb went off in the middle of their town. And people have recouped from that to a degree, but it basically created two classes of society. You had your registered people, and you had your unregistered citizens. And the difference between the two is those that are registered are guaranteed certain rights. So they're guaranteed a home, they're guaranteed a job, they're guaranteed education. And then those that are not registered actually live below the city, and they have no rights, no laws, limited education, that kind of thing. So it's kind of like a class versus class story to start.
Okay.
Mixed in the middle of that is you have these people called hunters that are basically your policing unit, because the police really don't have much to do. Because everyone's guaranteed everything, the majority of people don't commit crimes. They're happy to live their lives because they have what's called replicant parts. So if anybody lost a limb or things like that, there are different degrees of these replicant parts. So, hey, your arm blew off, no problem. We can get you a new arm, and depending upon how much money you got, yeah, we can. We have the technology.
We can build you and make you better.
We can make you better. And so most people go about their lives without a problem. It's usually some unregistered citizen that's been able to get their hands on replicant parts that tends to cause problems. So there are these hunters. Uh-huh. And they're the main policing unit. And so the story centers around this one hunter named Roy Revant, who has demons of his own. He lost his wife to cancer shortly before the blast fall. And after the blast fall,
he lost... a mutated zombie?
No. He lost his little daughter, Rita. He believes that she's still alive and is solely functioning on his belief that she's alive. And the intro in the first episode, before you even get to the whole story about the blast fall and everything, is Roy hunting this guy down and blowing his arm off. He's fast, he's quick, he's brooding.
Is he like angel brooding?
He's kind of. Yeah, I would say, but even more so darker.
Like a vampire?
Yeah, so you know that period of time where Angel, before he decided that he was going to try to do right and get his soul back, where he was just like a monster and just killing things willy-nilly?
Yeah, like that?
You know that week where he decided that maybe he might want to change, so he's still being like nasty and killing a whole lot of people, but a little pensive?
Yeah.
That's where Roy Revant is right now.
Okay,
so I would equate him more to the lead character in Speed Grapher. And I really don't care about other people. I'm just kind of, you know.
You mean the guy who can't get an erection without his camera?
Yeah, so, yeah, that guy.
Okay.
So he lives by himself. He's a hunter, basically a bounty hunter, bringing these people in, collecting money, all that kind of stuff. He's awesome at it. He works for this woman named Maverick, who's very light and fluffy and soft, and she was basically his wife's best friend. And so when she started up her hunting agency, he came on board. So he keeps an eye on her and her daughter, but lives in a building that she owns. And so they're kind of a makeshift family without really being a family, because Roy doesn't show any kinds of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this night. Isn't there always a night?
Wait, as in like a galleon night, or like, oh no, the sun's gone, so it's nighttime.
Like the sun's gone to bed night.
Okay.
Where, so then
one night, what happened was...
What had happened was, Roy was out doing some hunting. trying to help some people, you know, doing his thing. And he came up against a guy who ended up shooting him in the leg, so he was kind of at a disadvantage.
No, really?
Yep. He caught this one guy, and his partner basically decided he was going to bust him out of jail, and he was going to bust Roy up in the process. And things looked dark for Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile...
Nighttime, dark.
You like what I did
you
there?
You made it funny.
I did. I do that sometimes.
I'm glad somebody else does sometimes, because my brain can't, you know, do it all the time.
Well, I'm going to keep that comment to myself. I'm not even going to go there. You know what? I'm going to be nice to you because you don't feel good. I'm going to let that one go.
Thank you.
All right. So, things look dark. Roy's going to die. This guy's got the drop on him. And then this chick falls out of the sky.
You know, I've come to realize in a lot of animes, chicks just fall out of the sky.
Chicks, and she's naked. Naked chicks falling from the sky.
Isn't that like every man's fantasy?
Pretty much. And this naked chick was kind of sort of jumping from building to building and floating in the air. And
she could, why did she fall?
Well, here's the thing. She floated on her back because she was watching birds fly away. So she wasn't paying attention
to where she birds was flying. Naked?
Yeah, she was naked and she's flying
naked bird watching at night.
Yeah, that's what's going on. Well, it's like she had on like a poncho, but you could totally tell she was naked under the poncho. And she's watching these birds because she's like, oh my god, I've never seen a bird. Birds are so pretty. And she's on her back, so she's not paying attention to where she's flying. And she flew into a building and hit her head and she fell.
Naked, without the poncho.
With the poncho.
Okay.
And then, as she fell, when she fell through this building, she landed on the guy that was about to shoot Roy.
Without her poncho.
And poncho flew up at that point.
So, without poncho.
So, like, poncho half on, but totally revealing that, hey, that's a naked chick. At which point, Roy is like,
I was in the middle of almost getting killed here.
Thanks. Who the hell are you, and why the hell are you dressed like that? And what are you that you could survive it?
Are you an alien?
So Roy, being, you know, our reluctant hero.
It's like, yeah.
Takes her back to his place. Puts on a shirt.
For a little guess what's going and where?
No, there's no little guess what's going and where. There's none of that.
Okay.
Remember, they set it up. His daughter is missing. So he's a...
Just because you got missing children, you don't want to boink, 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 boink.
It does. That's if just you're a good daddy...
About when you're going to boink.
No. If you're a pensive daddy, you're not putting your penis in anything that's about the age of your daughter. Especially if your kid's missing.
Well, as far as we know. So, okay. I'll let that slide.
Stay with me now. All right? All right. Don't go to the dark place. Stay in the light.
But I don't
The story winds up going that initially Salty doesn't talk and she doesn't have a name. She's just this kid that follows Roy
around. Naked girl.
Uh huh. Okay. And she follows Roy around everywhere. And he keeps saying,
puppy?
Yeah. And he keeps saying, stop following me. What do you want? And he goes all around town and she keeps finding him in little places here and there and here and there and here and there. And he's like, stop it.
Right.
She breaks back into his apartment. He's like, look, you saved my life. And so I gave you a place to stay for the night. But that's it. This is not going to be a relationship. This is not a happy home. Get out. Don't be here when I get back. And don't follow me. And of course she follows. And she follows some more. And finally, he's like, why? What do you even want? You can't even talk. She's like, well, that's not true. I can talk. And he's like, well, what do you want? Who are your parents? Go home. I don't really have them. I don't know anything about myself. I don't even know that I have a name. I'm like, okay, we're about to go real lame here now. But it doesn't happen. It's basically the story of family isn't who you're born to, but family is who you bring into your life and what you make out of that. And so eventually Roy starts really caring for Salty. He even gives her name. when it turns out that she's basically going to be treated like a unregistered citizen because she's eventually busted by the RUC, which is kind of like the super police. She's all chicks for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why. Roy reluctantly becomes her guardian so that she can be a registered citizen, and then kind of finds out that she's actually not a human. There, for comic relief, is a character. I forget what his name is. Let me check my notes because I don't want to mess this up because he's hysterical. I think it's Yuki. And basically, he is like a doctor. And in order to become a registered citizen, you have to have your physical and your workup and all that kind of stuff. And so he grabs her to do the physical at the hospital and starts running tests. And he realizes that
she's not, an alien.
That she's 100% resemble, which is what the technology is, because it resembles.
Wait, so she's a robot?
So she's like, but she eats and... But she's pretty much all resemble. But she has emotions and...
She's a Chobits?
She's a Chobits, yeah. Pretty much. That's basically she is. She's Chobits.
Because even though technically Chobits aren't supposed to eat, there are a couple episodes where she, like, tries to eat food. And it just looks really nasty, but, you know, it's a reference.
Yeah, so, and basically he's just like, she's so perfect, I'm in love, and he makes googly eyes, and, you know, as he's running these tests, obviously he wants her to get naked, and Roy's like, no, get away from her, and then becomes a protective dad, and Roy eventually, while working up, Yuki, while working up these tests, eventually blows up that part of the hospital, and so he loses his job. And he winds up working for the Maverick Detective Agency and living in the building with Roy and Salty and the Maverick girls, and breaks it all down for him. Yeah, she's completely resemble, but she's awesome. That's why she can't be destroyed. And that's why she can catch bullets out of thin freaking air.
That's why she can float naked in a poncho?
Yeah, that's why she can float naked in a poncho, because she's 100% resemble. And so then the story starts turning from there. You meet some other characters. For a while, they start leading up in the story that Salty might be Roy's daughter, or at least have some of her memories. And then they switch gears completely. I don't want to give it all away. No, I just think that it's an interesting story to, you know, have this lead character who is very fragile, but has a very strong sense of right and wrong and desire to care for people, to be paired up with a person who has emotionally turned themselves off and now become the vehicle for that person to making an emotional connection. And the story does take some really hard emotional turns. Like, there are a couple of points where, you know, you think that things are going to work out for everybody. Every character that's been listed in the story, it seems like, and this is as we get towards the later episodes, so it looks like things are going to end, and they're going to end well, and it looks like everybody's going to have the happy ending.
Everyone's going to get what they want, and a rainbow's going to appear in the sky. And
exactly. And then all of a sudden, it takes a shit turn.
Oh, they get shit on?
No, I'll be honest with you. There were a couple of episodes where I was emotionally attached, and that doesn't happen for me in animes a lot.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, there were really a couple that I was just like, because I have it all digitally, I started skipping episodes because I'm like, I don't want the filler. I need to know what happens here.
I do not need the backtrack episode to remind me what's happened in the first half of the season.
Exactly.
Get me to the climax, bitch.
No, I read the summary. I'm like, okay, I can skip that episode. I'll go back to it later. I need to know what happens now. Which is why I love digital gratification. And it was really good. It was very, very well thought out. You know, it has its saccharine moments because I feel like, especially in the medium of anime, there seems to be the idea for most mainstream things that you cannot have a series that can be serious from beginning to end and it be successful. There always has to be comic relief. There always has to be that episode with, you know, some girl wanting some guy and they're blushing and that whole index finger pointing thing that they do when they're trying to be coy.
Oh, when they're drawing circles in the sky?
Or when they're looking down, like, right
the whole moe pose exactly. And the blood squirting out of the nose because they saw the trim lace of the panties and that.
You know, and on the girl's side when they're, like, thinking, I think that I'd like to, you know, maybe we could get together. I don't, you know, and they do that whole, like, I'm going to just kind of point my fingers together instead of twiddle my thumbs because that's cuter if I do that.
That's the Japanese equivalent to the twiddling of the thumbs.
Yeah, you know, and I don't need that to enjoy an anime, but I understand why it's there.
Right.
And so there's some of that in this series, but I have to say, I really, really enjoyed it. From episode one all the way through to the end, and then a couple of supplemental episodes that are added if you purchase it through iTunes. It was really, really enjoyable. I'll be honest, I'm probably going to put Salty Ray up in my top echelon of anime stuff. Like, it goes up there definitely in the top five.
That's awesome.
Which doesn't happen for me all the time.
No, I know. Oh, it doesn't.
You know, I have very few series that I enjoy from 1 to 26 and wish that there was another 26.
Right. Who knows? Maybe they'll push it later, or they might go and revive it later.
Well, it was one of the ones that was brought over because the fan subbing was just so rampant. They were like, look, we got to do something about this because people actually like this. So it's a Funimation Gonzo deal. And it's good.
Okay.
So I give Salty Ray 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
Yeah. Super so nice. That's my bit. What do you got for the people? I'm going to pass the thousand truths over.
Well, I did have some anime that I thought I'd bring up, but I think I'm going to save that for next week because I have fallen in love.
Oh my god, Panda's in love!
I am in love, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to tell you with who.
What's his name?
Well, I don't know his name, but I know...
Ooh! One night hookup, ooh!
No. Well, it was actually during the day on campus.
Is it a misconnection?
A what?
Oh, God, you don't go to Craigslist, do you? Never mind.
No. Casual encounter? No way.
No. Misconnections is funny as shit. All right, go ahead.
Anyway, one of my friends at my table was like, you need to check this stuff out if you've never checked it out. And as much as I like to say that I'm geek chic, I'm still very, you know, intermediate.
You're a geek noob.
I'm not a noob. I'm intermediate.
Dude, if I said to you, buffer under run, do you know what that is?
No.
Noob!
Is that an age, something to do with my age? You know, I noticed that age crack you made at me in your solo podcast. You know what? I didn't dig that either.
What age crack? I don't know what.
Well, you were just like, well, you know, for those of you guys who are new in the geekdom, you know, who were born in the 1990s, or in Panda's case, anyone who was born way before... Or like
oh my gosh. Let me see.
I heard that.
I was like, yo, those was age like, cracks, they hurt, don't they?
I was like,
they
sting. Fuck?
They sting just a little bit, don't they?
Yes. I didn't appreciate that, actually.
Welcome to my world.
Anywho. Mm-hmm. Anywho.
Yeah.
For my age, I am a geek intermediate. not in your category.
I'm in my own.
Anyway, no, you're like.
Alright, so I'm a little bit in the advanced classes.
Yeah.
I'm an AP geek.
Anyway, whatever. Whatever.
You're totally in remedial geek, but go ahead.
Anyway, so my friend at the table's like, hey, you need to check this site out. So he types it in on Tyrone, which is my black MacBook. Yes. I named it Tyrone. And he wears a red protective suit. So he's pimped
he's like
out.
A pimp. Oh,
he's a pimp. He's the pimp of the table in terms of computers. But anywho, so he types this in and he brings me to this guy's top 11 catchiest theme songs. And if you guys don't know who I'm talking about, I'm talking about the Nostalgia Critic. I've never listened to anything by this man before. You know, and it's a video clip. It's him, you know, and he's your average white guy. Definitely, you know, in the geekitude. Definitely my type. Glasses, red tie. Like, he's not ugly or anything. He's rather cute. And he's pretty much, you know, just counting down. And he does 11 because he likes to go one step beyond. So he's got his own catchphrases or anything like that. And I'm going to talk about this particular list of catchy theme songs. Because you cannot validate your geekness if, A, you don't know any of these that I'm going to mention, and or cannot recall one or two verses, if it actually had verses, to the song.
Okay.
Like, I will not consider you even, you know, pre-pubescing geek dumb unless. But I'm expecting everyone to know these. Anyway, so let me get into this top 11. Most catchiest theme songs, or the catchiest theme songs.
All right.
He starts off with number 11, obviously, because he goes from 11 to 1. You know, 11 being, it's catchy, to number 1 being, oh my god, it's the catchiest thing in the world.
Okay. Essentially.
And the first one he goes into is Sesame Street.
Well, dude, who doesn't know the Sesame Street?
That's right. So, I mean, he already started it off with a gem. You know, and as...
Day.
Yeah, exactly. But then he goes and he takes it to another level, because then, like, what's really funny about the song is they tell you, can you tell me how to get there, but they never tell you where the fuck this place is. The place is all about learning and, like, friendship and family, but they don't tell you if it's New Jersey. They don't tell you if it's New York.
Time out. Sesame Street is so not in Jersey.
Okay? I know, but he makes a good point. You know, the song is like, can you tell me? And, you know, and there's no answer. No one ever tells you, so...
And that's why, and the reason is, because they don't want you on Sesame Street.
That's right.
Your kind
is... They call all the religious... Hey, you want your kids to be really, really smart? I'll tell you how to get to Sesame Street. And let everybody else know that there's a place where kids can go, but we won't tell them how to get there. You know... But, I mean, it is very catchy, and this is probably one of the first things that, you know, shows that we've ever actually watched. So.
Okay. Because, I mean, I lived on Sesame Street. That was my babysitter. And here's the thing. Here's the reason why I can definitely agree with it being number 11. Because if I was to say right now to all of you people listening, if I went like this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10...
11, 12.
Exactly. And that's the power of Sesame Street.
Wasn't it also on Schoolhouse Rock?
I think that it was, but I saw it on Sesame Street. That pinball was the baddest thing ever, and it's the reason why I fell in love with pinball machines. And counting.
But anyway, so that was his number 11, which makes a lot of sense. Moving on down, number 10 was Reading Rainbow.
Oh, man, Reading Rainbow needs to be higher on the list. Come on.
Wait. When I get down lower on the list, you'll understand why I think he went this way.
I can fly twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A Reading Rainbow.
You know, and he then begins to comment about how, you know, the opening synthesizer... He makes a comment along the lines of, oh my god, if that sound came out of any book, I probably would have never read in my life.
Dude, it had Geordie LaForge on it!
I know. He never made the Geordie LaForge reference.
Really? I'm disappointed.
Oh, he didn't go there. But that's okay. But he's like, you know, it was very catchy and it made kids want to read.
I just love singing that song over and over again. I tried to be more diva every time I sang it. Eshmom hated it.
That doesn't surprise me. moving on down to number 9, it was a tie between the opening song to Carmen Sandiego, like the game show,
yeah,
versus the cartoon. The game show was far more catchier because one, it was completely a cappella.
Stupid rock a cappella.
Exactly. But I mean, it was really funny, you know, and it makes a lot of sense because I can still remember the really deep guy going, Carmen Sandiego. Like,
Now she's been around the world from New York to Carolina. She's a sticky finger belcher from Berlin down to Berlin. Oh, fuck, I'm old. All right, go ahead.
Anyway, number eight was Thundercats.
Oh, well, okay, yeah.
Yes, it was. And he made the comment about how the opening was just really awesome.
It is.
It was jam-packed, full of action.
Yeah.
You know, there's cats and there's jumping.
And Lionel's like,
then when you go into the whole episode, they hardly move.
Yeah, that's actually really true. They put all of their money on the opening.
Which he makes the comment of, because, like, you see, he shows the opening, and then, like, the next scene he shows, it's, like, Lionel, and he's talking, and he's not moving except for, like, his eyes. And then the Nostalgia Critic's like, do something! And then all of a sudden he moves his arm, and he's like, I guess that's as good as it's gonna get.
Dude, when they laugh, they don't even move. Everybody just tilts their head back, and they're like, ha 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 ha.
Exactly. So he makes the joke that they spent more money on the opening because they realized if they could get us with the opening, we'd probably be too lazy to walk away from the TV.
Like, Sutara is supposed to be, like, the fastest thing on the planet. Do you know that she spent most of the episodes either being stuck in goo so she couldn't move or tied up?
No, I didn't.
And it wasn't until she got the cat call that somehow, amazingly, she was able to break loose. And even at that, all you saw was, like, a Tron stream of light. And then her, like, standing in the middle of it.
Anyway. So number seven on his list was Power Rangers, the first season.
Oh!
Because even though the series was stupid, it was catchy. And the fact that most of the song was, Go, Go, Power Rangers, it hardly had any lyrics. It was catchy. He's like, as much as I hate the series, he's like, it's catchy. He's like, you can't go into a bar or, you know, a karaoke place and have someone say it that no one would, you know, be able to pick up the melody. So it's infectious. So it's a good place to be. At number six, they had G.I. Joe.
Well, yeah.
And the only reason why I think he really made a strong claim for G.I. Joe being in the number six is because they introduced counterpoints in the song, so you had to sing it with a friend because you couldn't do both at the same time. You know, the whole, like, G.I. Joe, American, you couldn't do it. So you had to watch it with friends. So all your friends would have to,
you know, I don't know. I don't think that G.I. Joe is really higher and more catchy than the Thundercats song.
He made the claim. I didn't make up the list.
All right, I understand that, you know, you got to do it with friends and things like that, but on a catchy scale, I would not say that the G.I. Joe song was more catchy. But go ahead.
At the number five, so this is, I would say, promptly in the middle here because it is an odd number.
Right.
But at the number five spot, he put Transformers.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you there.
Which made a lot of sense. And he's like, come on. He's like, giant, you know, trucky robots, you know, Decepticons. You know, and it was just great. And he's like, and he loved the robot voice. It was like, robots in disguise.
All right, I just don't know, where's Inspector Gadget on this list at this point?
Wait, I'm getting there.
Okay.
But he also continues with the Transformers bit, where he's like, you know what's really funny about this? People love that theme song so much that when the live action came out, when he went to go see it, no one moved from the seats because they were all anticipating up to the end of the credits that they'd play a chunk of the song, or at least do the Robots in Disguise robotic voice.
I was disappointed that it wasn't there, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. So if they do, and it's like, I hope they make a sequel, and maybe underneath it, they'll be like, this one actually has the song in it.
Stay through the credits.
Wink, wink. Exactly. At the number four spot, he had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Turtle Power.
Though he made the claim that, you know, I think they were trying to subliminally get us to, you know, want to say Turtle Power all the time. And it didn't stick as a catchphrase. But still, it was catchy. And of all the words to put into a song, you know, as a title, and then make it a catchy theme song, Teenage, Mutant, Ninjas, and Turtle,
And they made it work.
And they made it work. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah. Here in the hot shell.
And number three, it was really funny because this actually has a whole slew of them all together. He was like, anything from the Richard Stone team. So that's Animaniacs, Freakazoid, Tiny Toon Adventures, Pinky and the Brain, Tasmania, because these people are genius.
Look, Animaniacs had a great, great theme. So did Pinky and the Brain. That's crazy catchy. I still find myself singing it to myself sometimes in my head when I'm working. So, yeah, I agree.
Yep. So, I liked Freakazoid. Freakazoid. But that's more, that was more my time than yours.
Watch
so
it.
So that makes, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying I remember watching more Freakazoid than you.
Yep.
At the number two spot came Inspector Gadget.
Yes! Sorry.
Yes, it was number two because the simple fact that the only words that are in this song are Inspector, Gadget, Go, and woohoo.
Well, so, but at the end, there's also...
Well, he didn't go into outros, but he did make the mention. He's like, even though the intro was awesome, he's like, I love the outro because then you heard, because then you heard him go, I'll get you, Inspector Gadget.
No, he didn't say Inspector Gadget. He just said, I'll get you, Gadget, next time. And then the cat went, Exactly. Yep.
And he's like, and you just, and no matter what, everyone watched it. And it was just, it was catchy. Someone could be sitting there and just be like, do-do-do-do-do-do, and everyone would just go into an uproar.
It's the only thing that ever made me want to learn how to play piano, because I wanted to play the Inspector Gadget song.
And at the number top, at the number one
at
spot.
The number top?
There's a number top.
Okay, and the number top.
At the number top spot, number one. Now, I'm not surprised at this at all, because I sing this or hum this all the fucking time. And it is DuckTales.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, I agree. DuckTales.
It is. Woo.
It's the catchiest freaking theme song to a cartoon, I think, ever.
And, like, and his rant on it's really funny, because when he first mentions it, he's like, yeah, so it's DuckTales. He's like, you know, you could be on your way to campus, you know, ready to go see your girlfriend, and you're like, man, you know, I can't wait to see her. Or you're, like, ready to see her. It's like, and you're looking at her, and what are you thinking? DuckTales! Woo! Like, you could be in the middle of winning the lottery, and you're like, that's great, but what are you thinking about?
Time out. Because here's the thing. That block of cartoons, and I've had this conversation with many, many, many people our age and younger. That block of cartoons was probably the best block of cartoons in the afternoon ever.
Ever. Ever. Emphasis on ever.
Because you had
ever make a combination like that again. That was like a phenomenon that will never happen again in our lives.
Chippendale leading into DuckTales, leading into Darkwing Duck.
I hated Tailspin.
And then, well, they moved Tailspin out of that, though, and they eventually put it in the morning. I'm talking Rescue Rangers into DuckTales, into Darkwing Duck, which I'm really surprised that that didn't make it into the list. Because when there's trouble, you call DW. Okay?
Darkwing Duck!
This is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So you had Chippendales leading into DuckTales, into Darkwing Duck, that led into Gargoyles. Now, if that's not the most entertaining 2 hours of afternoon cartoonage
of my life, I don't know what is.
Okay, and when you finished Gargoyles, you switched over and you picked up Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain.
Fuck yes.
That was probably the most entertaining time of my non-adult life.
But anyway...
So I gotta tell you, I want to talk to the Nostalgia Critic about this, because I want to know why DuckTales is on the list and Darkwing Duck is not.
I wouldn't be surprised, like, I wonder if the person who did DuckTales did Darkwing Duck, and because, I mean, they kind of have the same kind of catchiness.
Well, I mean, it's all Disney, but I want to know why you can have DuckTales on the list and not have Darkwing Duck anywhere.
I don't know.
That's my bone of contention. I would
maybe should have taken out G.I. Joe.
That's what I was about to say. I would swap DuckTales for G.I. Joe.
But G.I. Joe was like higher in the list. I think it was six.
Yeah, but here's my
DuckTales at six.
I want DuckTales to be higher. I don't think that G.I. Joe should be in the list. I think that DuckTales, as far as catchiness goes, I think DuckTales is three. I would say that the DuckTales theme song.
So you take G.I. Joe out to put Transformers at six.
Yep.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at five. Anything by the Richard Stone team at four.
Yep.
DuckTales at three. Inspector Gadget still at two. Or would you move that?
No. I would put DuckTales at one, Gadget at two, Darkwing at three, the Roger Stone team at four. Who was number five?
Originally it was Transformers, but we're moving them up, so that would put Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came after anything by the
then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and then Transformers. So Transformers gets pushed down in the list.
Right.
Teenage Mutant Turtles gets pushed down in the list. The Stone team gets pushed down and Darkwing goes in there.
Okay. All right, I can see that too.
Okay.
So I'm surprised that they didn't group. I'm surprised that he didn't group DuckTales with Chippendales or Darkwing Duck.
Rescue Rangers was catchy, but not as memorable.
Chippendales, Rescue Rangers, Chippendale, when there's danger. Come on.
That's catchy. I agree. That was catchy.
And catchy is all
it.
Monterey Jack. Come on. Gadget.
It's all about Gadget. It's Gadget.
It was.
Her name is Gadget. Here's the deal. Catchy is all hell, but only certain people remember it. I mean, like, I remember the Chippendales part, when there's danger, okay?
The where and why and who. I know it.
I know you know it, but but you were a Chippendales nut. Not everybody was a Chippendale nut.
That's
what
true.
I'm saying is, if we're talking about just generally across the board catchy.
That's true.
Doesn't necessarily crack the top five on the list. If I was doing a top 12 list, Chippendales would make the list. And it'd probably be down around the 9-10 area.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. But anyway.
But there's a lot of cartoons that were catchy that aren't on that list.
I know. But I mean, I would like to seriously talk to this guy, because I mean, he does a lot of stuff like that where he makes these lists and they're actually really good. No, he imbues, because I think he's
oh my god, did you just use a big girl word?
I am a big girl, you know.
Sometimes I wonder. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just was very.
You just totally stole my thunder on that one.
I'm sorry.
You were a tumbleweed intending to steal my thunder.
I rolled away. No, I was really, really very proud of you for using the big girl.
I'm in college, for Christ's sakes.
That doesn't mean shit. George W. went to college.
Yeah, but I get better grades than George W.
Yeah, and you don't have any DUIs. But, you know, we're digressing.
And I've never done crack.
Coke.
Oops. My bad.
Let's not go there.
Crack's whack. Anyway.
Said it, so it must be true.
Anywho, but I mean, granted, I'm sure he went through a whole lot of them. I'm glad that a lot of these made the list, because these are true. I mean, these are things that I hum every day on my way to classes, or I might quote one while I'm at my table with my hot geek friends. Like,
it's the common knowledge base, okay? Everyone our age watched all of these things, and we learned them, because they were all our after-school activities.
Yep.
None of the things that were on that list, with the exception of Sesame Street, if you think about it, came on in the morning.
That's
it was
right.
All the stuff that we caught when we came out after school that was designed for us. They spent hours creating these jingles so that we remember them. So that as we're adults now, with the Animaniacs stuff on DVD, we're drawn to it. Because it's time for Animaniacs.
It is time. You want to know how dirty and
God
perverse
is cute and Yakko laughs.
They're actually, he does the top 11 most naughtiest things ever said in the Animaniacs.
because he makes the point that there's so many things that the censors let through because these writers were geniuses.
Well,
were so subtle.
The thing that, is, like, it's not even about them just being just subtle, okay? If you think about it now, as an adult, when you go back and you watch episodes of Animaniacs, was that cartoon designed for kids, or was it the South Park of its time?
See, I think Ren and Stimpy was the South Park of our time.
Ren and Stimpy took the nastiness, and South Park picked that up and ran with it. But as far as just really jokes, puns, sight gags, references to theater,
good point,
and books, they did Shakespeare jokes, for Christ's sakes.
That's true. But you know what? I can see why you would say that with the Animaniacs. But at the same time, you know, they did, for one, they were being pushed as a child show, and they did have a lot of antics that were very appealing to children masses. Mm-hmm. Like, and they were trying to educate some kids at the same time. I mean, hello, I'm still trying to memorize the state, the nations of the world song.
The nation of the world song is very difficult, and you should just, you know, you gotta let it go. If you want, you know, something a little bit easier, you should use the They Might Be Giants song. but here's the thing, and this is the reason why I say that. Remember the pigeons?
Yes.
The good feathers?
The good feathers.
It was a good fellas joke. What fucking 8-year-old, first of all, had parents that let them watch Goodfellas?
Good point.
What 8-year-old know who the fuck Joe Pesci was or Ray Liotta and why the lead pigeon had blue eyes like Ray Liotta? That was not a kid's joke.
I know. And all the references to Hello Nurse.
Okay.
Definitely not kid. Yeah, I know.
All right. As I was watching, I'm like, oh my God, it's like Mel Brooks did a cartoon for me.
More or less.
Okay.
I know, I can remember, on the top 11.
Peters did a voice, for Christ's sake!
This nostalgia critic did, like, the top 11 naughtiest things out of Animaniacs, and the top one was all from the same episode. Yakko and Wakko and Dot were in school, and the teacher, who looks like, you know, an older lady, you know, pudgy with the flabby arms and everything, and she's all like, Yakko! And he's all like, yes. She's like, can you conjugate? And he's like, I've never even kissed a girl.
Yes.
And it's like, no, I'll show you. Come here. And then he's like, good night, folks. I'm like, they're like, it's so subtle. And I can remember watching as a child and be like, I don't even know what conjugate means. And now going back, I'm like, now I understand why that joke was so funny, because he meant consummate, which meant fucking. And I was like, oh my God, that was so hilarious. I was cracking up at the table.
Or copulate, which also...
Copulate, conjugate, procreate.
Hey, conjugate and copulate. A little bit different. But yeah, no, I think that that's one of the reasons why, like, the Animaniacs DVD set's been selling so freaking well, is because all of us, our age, appreciate those jokes even more now that we're older.
Than we did then.
And it's all common knowledge base when you think about it. Like, when I crack a joke and somebody says, now you know, and I go, and knowings, I just like, you know.
That's okay. Because it's just that awesome that you just...
Yeah, I totally break my
brain. It's
like, and knowings for the battle.
And blah, blah, G.I. Joe.
Exactly.
American Hero.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, he's very right about all these songs. You could be having the best day ever, you've been focused, everything's going right, and then on the way home, you turn off your radio, and what's the first thing that comes to your head? Life is like a hurricane here in...
You know what's missing from this list? And I'd be interested, you know, we got to talk to this guy. We got to get him on the show.
I'd love to get him on the show. He's so dreamy.
Because here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think is funny. So you had Reading Rainbow on the list, right?
Yes.
You had Sesame Street on the list.
Yeah.
Where's Contact?
I remember Contact. Just barely.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Where's Contact?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Contact It's the answer. It's the reason that everything happens. Contact.
Oh my god.
Let's make contact. 3, 2, 1, contact. Where's it?
I don't know.
I think it's really interesting that the majority of this list is not educational cartoons or programs.
Some of them were,
but it's blanketed by them. Because Sesame Street's there, Reading Rainbow's there. But Contact came on before Reading Rainbow. At least in the Boston area.
But anyway, I mean, this guy is just genius.
Yep.
And
I have him on the show. Excited.
Pretty much, you know, after my friend showed me this, I was like, I have to watch all of them. And I mean, and he doesn't just do that. He does the top 11, you know, famous animated, you know, shows. Uh-huh. He does one called The 11 Saddest Moments. That one is actually sad. Like, there's a lot of funniness in there, but, you know, a couple of these were really sad. Like, I was watching it right before I had to go to my photography class, and, like, one of them was the shooting of Old Yeller.
And obviously, God!
Yeah, of course you see, mind you, I've never seen the ending to Old Yeller, so of course when I see the kid with the gun, I'm like, oh my god.
Wait. Did you not read the book?
I never read the ending of the book.
How did you get out of not reading Old Yeller?
Well, because everyone else pretty much in the class was like, yeah, and he had to shoot him because he had rabies. And I was just like, I'm so glad I didn't read that. I'm so glad I didn't watch that. But, I mean, a lot of them were actually really good. Like, you know, like, he makes the point, like, in the top one of the list, is anything Disney-related? Because Disney is just sad. And, like, and he shows all these clips from, like, the saddest parts in all the movies. He's like, you know, it's like, hey, I'm Bambi. Bambi, I'm with my mom. We're running. Bambi's mom gets shot.
Time out again. Here's the thing with any Disney animated movie, with the exception of some of the earlier on ones, they always have taken the easy out of making their point of conflict a kid on their own.
Yes, I know.
That's the way that
that's what Disney does.
They kill parents. Or Disney they make kills. Them really bad.
Yeah.
Okay, Finding Nemo, what do? We lost a mom, and then dad had a fight with the kid, and the kid ran away.
And the kid ran away. Yeah, okay. That's right.
Incredible.
That's right.
Happened. Daddy's leading a second life, and mom and dad are fighting because they can't get along.
But mom was leading a second life too, wasn't she? Because she was
being a mom. He's the one that ran off to the island and started being a super.
That's right. Okay. Yep. But anyway, let me get back to the point of this.
Because that's a whole nother conversation. That's a whole nother podcast.
But this list was just good because, you know, and he's all like, you know, it's like, here, he's like, you know what I don't get about Bambi? And like, this was the strongest point. Like this actually, I was actually kind of crying by this point. He's like, I'm Bambi. I'm out with my mom. A hunter's chasing us. My mom gets shot. It's like, okay, father comes out of the fog, says, Bambi, your mother's dead. They walk away. Cutscene. What comes next? Happy birds. Happy birds, and they're singing, and there's water, and they're cuddly, and you know, in big like letters, you know, it's Disney's making a claim that death is not a big deal because the next day, no matter what happens, there's gonna be birds.
Okay, time out. All right, I get the point that he's making, but
it's really funny because as he's talking at this point, you know, a gunshot goes off. And, like, and you see like this, you know, a bullet can go through his head, and he hits his desk, and it cuts. Then he cuts to the scene where the birds start hopping around, and he's like, "Let's look at other Disney movies with this scenario. Let's take The Lion King.
Yeah.
Simba watches the father die. He gets trampled over. Simba's like, no. Cut scene. Happy birds the next day. Like it was." It was sad, but it was so funny.
Well, you know,
that was the worst
mermaid,
cut.
She loses her voice, wakes up on the beach, and there are, you know, good-looking prince and happy. Look, here's the thing. It's not the next day. I gotta piss on the parade.
No, I know that.
The theory, I follow.
But I think, I do think it's the next cut scene. It's not the next day, because obviously he's older by that.
Yeah,
but they don't show you that.
Takes him into the woods.
They don't want to show you the angsty, dark, dear moment.
Well, here's the thing. Shamalama Ding Dong, M. Night Shyamalan, is not writing Disney movies, and I'm glad that he's not.
I know, I can see it right now. Bambi being emo. It's like, I hate my life because my mom is dead. And my dad, I don't even know where the
but
fuck
it turns
he is.
Out that they're not dead. I'm dead. Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
I know, it's like, I am Night Shyamalan, your ass.
Yeah, you didn't know where I was going, did you? You thought you were looking at this through your eyes. Well, guess what? Guess what? You know what? This whole thing? Yeah, you're a chick. What?
What?
You're a dude. Yeah, you're a chick. Ooh, shall
like,
we let me
you have boobies. You have boobies.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and you're blind and you can see some colors. You can see vibrations of colors.
Yeah, yeah. And you're living in a village, but actually it's just in the middle of the woods.
And
it's totally not like
the same. And that pool on the other side is actually a link to another world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people are gonna start killing each other because it just happens.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, that was a totally different comment. Anyway, yeah. Nostalgia Critic, I love you. Like, I love you. I would have your nostalgic baby.
Careful, because when you start on these tangents, that's when you start saying that you're gonna squat in people's face.
I'm not. Let that go.
Oh,
I'm letting it go.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, Nostalgia Critic, that I love you. I fucking love you. Please come on our show and talk to us. Or just me. You don't even have to talk to me.
Fuck you! I remember more than you do.
I'm the perky one.
What? Oh, bullshit.
Oh, I totally am. Shut up. Anyway. Oh my god, I'm totally going to make an iHeart NC.
Comic relief.
And take a picture of it. Hey, I'm catchy. Oh, I would be on his sketchiest women list. Because I'm catchy. Everyone always wants
to catch you. I'm sure everybody wants to catch you.
I'm not that hard. I can't run very fast. Anyway, but he's got something there, and I love it. And you just can't help but want to watch more. All
right, so where do people find Nostalgia Critic?
You have to go to www.thatguywiththeglasses.com.
All right.
Not only does he do the Nostalgia Critic, but he does other things, too. He does the 5-second movies, which you actually might really like, Ninja.
The bunny shorts? Because I fucking love bunny shorts.
No, because the bunny shorts are longer. It's really funny. He does AI in 5 seconds.
Dude, and I was like, AI can be done in, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, but it's really funny because it's actually one of the longest ones because it's like, there once was a boy named David who loved his mother so much that he went to the Blue Fairy to become a real boy. And then it ends and he's like, but then, so it's like, it's like, but when he got to the Blue Fairy, she was at the bottom of the ocean. So he sat there and prayed, the end. And then, aliens came, dug into this giant ice sculpture, and then told him that they couldn't bring his mother back because she was dead. The end. Like, he's funny. This is comedic aphrodisiac. I can't help but want this man in my bed. And I'm done.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were
going to go there. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. Nostalgia Critic, I love you.
All right. Well, with that, I'm going to have to say that you guys need to visit us on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
ESH.MOBI. That's ESH.MOBI. The short address will bounce into the long one. You can come and check out any posts that we posted, and you can leave some comments by those. If you just want to talk to us or have a question, you can use the Hit Us Up link. You can also, find our podcast up on our site. If you're not listening to us through iTunes, you can check that place out. We're there. You can put us in any RSS reader. We'll pop up. You can look at any imaginable podcast search engine out there. My preference is Podcast Pickle. Or, if you haven't gotten the clue yet, you should go over to a little place that I call my second home, and that is the All Games Network.
You can check our episodes of our podcast out on the All Games Radio Network, airing on Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern-ish, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. You are welcome to bop around in the community. They love it. You can listen to episodes of other shows like Dead Pixel Live, Ultimate Quest. Oh, All Ultimate Games Quest. Interactive is kind of sort of back. Kind of
yeah.
sort of.
Sort of kind of sort of maybe. Hey, thanks, bye.
Chatterbox, Platform Nation, OLR.
Funtime Show.
Funtime Show. I mean, there's a lot of programming there. And it's all fun and enjoyable, and you never know. You might see Panda and I there. So check it out.
I'm there all the time.
Yeah, constantly. You should really probably spend more time over here.
I know, I keep getting offered to be co-hosts on other shows since yeah. I'm over there all the time.
I know. I talked with Scott about it.
Really?
I did.
What?
I'll tell you about it after the show. So with that, I guess I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, it's kind of toasty, like my forehead.
So, what are you doing with your toast?
I'm going to go grab some eggs and crack them on my forehead and make myself an egg sandwich.
Okay.
And maybe get some bacon, too.
You got to do that on your forehead, or you don't want yeah. bacon grease on your... I don't know that bacon grease is necessarily good for your pores. I just want to go there.
The scalding heat is sizzling my bacon.
Yeah, it's going to sizzle your bacon, all right.
Sizzle my bacon.
Okay.
I like bacon. What?
Yes. Did I say anything?
No. What are you going to do with your toast? What are you gonna do
I'm just going to eat it. Because I like
You always eat it. You never turn it into anything.
Because
you
know I like what? Toast.
But I'm going to retract that about my toast. You know what I'm going to do with my toast? I'm going to shoot my toast, and then it's going to cut scene to Happy Birds. And the toast is going to be like 30, like Jesus.
That means it would be moldy. Okay, so I'm gonna say I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We are out of here.
Bye, guys. Let's sing a gay little spring song. This is the season to sing. So I'd like to suggest that we all do our best and warble a song about spring. Spring, spring, spring. Let's get together and sing fa-la-ra-ly, twittery, 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 tra-la-la. Let's sing a gay little spring song. Woo! Just like the bird on the wing. Things always seem right when you're chipper and bright. So let's get together and sing. Sing, sing, sing. Let's sing a song about spring. Let's twitter and tweet like the birdies in May. Get into the mood and be ready to play. Forget all the troubles and worries.
Oh, what now? Hey! Hey! Stop that racket!